listen to the Jason Greger Show presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.AB.ca.
As Tyler Yaremchuk from Oilers Nation joins us once again. And Ty, how you doing?
Not bad. Not bad here on a Wednesday. I'm almost over the Blue Jays stuff. Like, I still get a little sad when I hear you talking about Shane Bieber, but it's a shorter sadness.
Yeah, but aren't you excited that Bieber, like, everybody was like, oh, there's no chance he's leaving. He gets $4 million to leave. And he's like, no, I'm staying. 1 year deal. Let's wind it back up and see what happens.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at the projections, like, this is a guy who probably pretty easily could have gotten himself like $75 million guaranteed on a 3 or 4 year deal. So he's leaving a lot of money on the table. The only thing that I don't understand the baseball landscape well enough to get to this part, but like, the looming potential lockout, how is that going to have an effect on this year's free agency? Like, how are players going to manage that? Because the next CBA, I mean, it could make it way better to be a free agent. It could make it way worse. I wonder how the looming lockout affects some of these guys and their thinking.
Well, I wonder if that's why he only signed a 1 year deal.
Right? Yeah.
So is that, to me, I was like, interesting. But yes, I know that'll be a fascinating thing to watch in baseball. The Edmonton Oilers. It is there's been no shortage of storylines to watch. Not always positive for the Edmonton Oilers. They find different ways to lose games. Right now, they've been to overtime 5 times. They've only scored a goal once in 5 games. They used to be money in 3-on-3. Are you surprised by their lack of success 3-on-3 so far this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, how could you not be surprised by it, I guess, is what I'd say. Like, it's the same guys. It's Connor, it's Leon, and it's Evan Bouchard. Like, those three are traditionally so dominant. And what else is it's not worrisome, but it's, I guess, annoying from an Oilers perspective, is they've had chances. Like, that season opener against Calgary, they had a power play in overtime. There was another game not that long ago. I'm blanking on which one it was, but they also got a power play in overtime and couldn't score on it. So a little bit annoying from that perspective, where, like, they're getting these great opportunities. They're just not finding the back of the net. It's also 1 month in, and like everything, like, even with their 5-on-5 offense, like, are there guys who need to be better? Yes. Is part of it just, you know, it's a cold stretch for a few of these guys, and the fact that it's happening in the first month of the season means it's magnified? I also think that's a part of it. Like, I know people are on Trent Frederick, and I get that you want him to be a little bit more involved physically, but, like, even the goal scoring side of it, when he had his 18-goal season with the Boston Bruins a few years back, he had a 17-game stretch where he only scored 1 goal. Like, he's shown in the past, he is a streaky goal scorer. A lot of guys who play bottom 6 minutes just tend to be streaky goal scorers. So I'm not hitting the panic button on anything yet. I really don't think anyone is. But even with a guy like Frederick, it's like, all right, what happens if he gets hot for 2 weeks, scores 4 goals in 7 games, and all of a sudden his ratios and his projections, they all look way better? So, again, frustrating in the moment because you're watching and Oilers fans live and die with every game. You have a text line. I see my YouTube chat. We experience the frustration every day. But, like, deep breath, everybody. It'll be all right.
Well, yeah, you would think so. I do think there's some areas of their game that's a concern for me. Mm-hmm. Their net front presence offense is almost non-existent. And I know that Zach Hyman, when he comes back, that'll help. But he only plays on one line. That doesn't mean the other three lines, you know, are magically going to do it if they're not doing it. So I don't like that. I don't like the lack of shots on goal and, or like how many rebound, I think they've got one rebound goal that's in tight. We know that Emberson and Drysdale, that game against Utah, obviously they saw something that he kicked out 2 rebounds to the far side and both of them went in. Right. But those weren't around the net rebounds, right? Like, those don't happen very often. Like, the Oilers have one goal on a rebound chance in tight. And that just means you don't have enough guys there and you don't have enough bodies when you're shooting the puck to get the rebounds.
Yeah, I would even say, like, at both ends of the ice, managing rebounds is a pretty big issue for this team. On my show the other day, Liam put together a montage of how many goals against have come from in tight, where a defenseman loses their man and the second opportunity, boom, it gets banged in, or someone just has too much time in front. And it's like, I mean, I know it's maybe a little old school hockey brain, but if you're an Oilers defenseman, just start putting guys on their behinds. Like, I know that Bouchard goal against St. Louis, or the game-winning goal for St. Louis, where Bouchard was right in front of the net, that one's been talked about a lot. But on that play, like, just knock the guy down, just hammer him. And like, if you take a penalty, whatever, you saved a goal. And you're right on the other end. Like when an offense is struggling, I'd like to see them play with a little bit more desperation, you know, get bodies in front, hammer pucks towards the net. Maybe one goes in off your knee. Maybe one goes in off a skate. You get a good deflection. And like, there's been games this year where they've done it and it's worked. I think about that win against Montreal when their offense started to generate and you know, they've scored, ended up with what, 6 in that game. That the Tomasic goal, the goal at the end with Podkolzin, like those were results of funneling pucks towards the net. And then you get the lucky bounces, like just sitting on the perimeter, the amount of times they pass from the middle of the ice to the outside. At some point, you just need to put your head down and be like, you know what? If we're going to get out of this offensive slump, it's not going to be by setting up a bunch of nice, pretty passing goals. It's going to be by putting 2 skates right at the top of the blue paint and letting your teammates fire pucks towards the front of the net. You have to make your own bounces at some point.
Oh, 100%. We might, and it's too early, but, you know, Janmark and Hymer are getting close. And, you know, Kapanen, well, he's still a few weeks away, but he's on the roster technically on IR. But when Hyman comes off, they got to make some moves, no question. You know, Regula's back now. They're not going to carry 8 defensemen. They got 23 guys in the roster. So, you know, you look at it. The easy moves when Janmark and Hyman come back is you move a defenseman and then you move one of Howard or Tomasic to the minors. And then when Kapanen's ready, you can move the other one of those two, which I assume would be Tomasic, to the minors. And the orders are cap compliant. Like, it's not, it's like Troy Stetcher's a potential risk, sure, but it's not like they're in a huge problem here. And I think Ike Howard playing 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes a night is just not beneficial for him long term. I'd rather see him in the minors.
No, and I don't even think it needs to be a long stint in the minors in the sense of like, I don't think you need to put him down there and say, all right, talk to you next training camp, Ike. Like, I think you can put him down there for 2 months. And then you know what? End of January, early February, when you start to get to that point where you need to really plan for the trade deadline, bring him back up. Like the year Kyler Yamamoto came up, you know, at the end of December, right on that New Year's Eve game, like he was lights out for a couple of months for the Oilers in a top 6 role. So I think you can send down Howard, let him get a bunch of puck touches. He's a player you can tell. I'm sure you can tell by talking to him. You can tell by watching. Like he thrives on confidence. Let him go down there and score a goal every 2 games in Bakersfield or a goal every 3 games and come up feeling, you know, having some swagger in his game. So I agree with you. There's a very easy decision to be made here. And on the note of Troy Stetcher, I do get nervous about losing that layer of depth on the blue line, which is why, like, unless you're 100% certain as an organization that he's going to get claimed, I don't just trade him to try find whatever the phrase was, a soft landing spot or just to do right by the player. I tell him like, hey, I know it sucks that you're a vet and you got to go back to Bakersfield and play in the American League, but we know from watching the playoff run last year and the year before, you don't need 6 defensemen. You don't need 7. You need 8 defensemen to get through a run to the Stanley Cup playoffs. This is a team that had Josh Brown play a playoff game last season against the LA Kings. Like, I would hate to just trade Troy Stetcher for a future considerations or a 7th round pick to do right by the player. And then at the deadline, you're sitting there going, well, we should probably go acquire someone like Troy Stetcher. And it's the deadline, so it costs you a 4th.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fair. I look at the orders. The other aspect is, you know, people like fatigue. Is it a factor? I don't know. They've played one more game than like 10, 15 other teams. I don't, you know, like we knew that they had a heavy road schedule to start the season and that's going to continue. They play at home for 2 and then they're on the road for 7 straight. You know, that gets you right to the end of the month. Like that's just what their schedule is. Like the Oilers have blown both of their losses on home ice when they had a 3-0 and a 3-1 lead. So, and that one was the first game of the season. So, like the issues for the Oilers have been there now for 15 games, and it really hasn't improved. Blowing leads, lack of 5-on-5 scoring, lack of net front presence, some glaring defensive miscues. Like, there's not a lot about the team that's going well. I still think the Oilers are fine, but at some point you got to switch, and we need to see a reduction in those areas.
Yeah, absolutely. And like even defensively, like they prevent shots at a very good rate. They're, I think, the 3rd best team in the league at it. But then you go and watch, and the amount of times where it's blown coverage. And this isn't just about the 6 defensemen. This is about the forwards as well. I know you and Speck were talking about Nugent Hopkins, but that 2nd goal of the game, if Jack Roslovic takes 2 more hard strides, he might get in Mikko Rantanen's way and break up that play. Like, it's a 5-man issue defending and stopping these glaring mistakes, because you just, and I'm not going to defend the goalies. I don't want people to take it this way, because the goaltending's been a little inconsistent early on in the season too. But like, when you have a game like last night against Dallas where the save percentage looks horrendous on Stuart Skinner, but yet you look at the goals and you go, none of those goals are his fault. And also he had to face six other high danger chances and he stopped those other six high danger chances. Like, you can't just give up 24 shots, pat yourself on the back and say, oh, look, we prevented them from getting chances, when out of those 24 shots, nine of them were from dangerous areas and a bunch of them were because you shot yourself in the foot and had a bad turnover in the neutral zone and didn't want to work hard to make up for it, or you misread something in the D zone. Like, that's the part that's really frustrating me, is it's stuff that's, it's almost effort-based, or it's staying focused. Like, it's not like these guys aren't good enough hockey players to be executing and to be not making these mistakes. It's just, it feels, I don't want to use the L word, but it feels like lazy at times.
Yeah, uninspired, probably a word. I could use. And they got to get better at it. There's no question about it that it's, you know, like last night, the high danger chances were significantly in favor of Dallas. Edmonton, hey, they scored on theirs. Like, the Drysdale goal, I'm not even sure I can limit that high. Like, that's such a ridiculous shot. Good for him. But they didn't generate a ton of high danger chances despite getting out to the early lead, right? Like, that's where you'd think, hey, here we go. But the Oilers playing with the lead this year have been awful 5-on-5. They've been crushed when they're playing with leads, which is weird because to me, that's just a killer instinct. And right now, they don't seem to have it.
Yeah, and killer instinct. And it goes back to, like, I don't know, I think playing with some passion. Like, it's maybe lame and simple to put it that way, but like, you should go out there and get up 2-0 and think, like, hell yeah, boys, let's roll these guys 6-0 tonight. Instead, it feels like they want to retreat into this, like, okay, play it safe, dump in pucks, let's not get too crazy here. And then the result is what the results have been, and it's a whole bunch of blown leads, like blowing 6 2-goal leads at this point in the season. Granted, they came back and won two of those games, so bounce back, sure, but even having 4 blown leads on your resume, just, it's not good enough for a team of their caliber.
Yeah, they've been outscored 12-7 at 5-on-5 when they're leading the game. And
just can't happen.
No. And the thing is, like, they've had a lot, like, not an abundance amount. I think they've had, like, the 10th most 5-on-5 time with a lead. So, you know, being in pretty decent position, but can't get outscored that bad when you have a lead. So, because they're clearly not being able to shut it down. That's pretty obvious.
I was surprised today. You go look front page of NHL.com, and it's like Connor McDavid's leading the league in scoring, and Leon Draisaitl's tied for the lead in goals, and it's like, and they're still not scoring at 5-on-5. Like, I was looking up the numbers with Connor and Leon off the ice at 5-on-5. They're getting outscored 16-8. Like, you need some of these guys a little lower in the lineup, as much as, again, I'm totally fine saying, hey, it's just a tough first month. I think some guys like Matt Savoy, I think eventually Matt Savoy will start to get some goals here. I would hope Trent Frederick's got a bit, like, has a better level of hockey in him. But again, this is the month here with a tough road trip. You are going to need some players not named Connor and Leon to start scoring.
Ty, great stuff, buddy. We will chat with you next week. Have a good one.